Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 62, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Googs and social medias. It's Friday, December 21st, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Dashing Through the Trend in a second-rate podcast. Jack O'Brien sings his AKAs all right with co-host Miles Gray, super producer Hosnier. What fun it is to get hot takes from Zeit Gang every night.
Night!
Yeah, rhymes. That's courtesy of Rich Jefferson.
Rich Jefferson, check your rhymes, speed.
Nah, man, that was great. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host. She is sometimes known as Lil Zam, the hacker who codes. This is Jamie Loftus!
A.K.A. Childish Zamboni.
Oh, wow.
A.K.A., and I'm not as sold on this one, Jamie So Horny. A.K.A.
That's
not
fun.
Edgar.
All right. Yeah, not Edgar. Well, we're thrilled to have you, Jamie. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
And we are also thrilled to be joined in our third and fourth seats by the hosts of Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, Jorge Cham and Daniel Whiteson. What's up, guys?
Hey, thanks for having
Hello.
Us on.
Hey, it's great to have you guys here.
Welcome to the game.
Are we supposed to have silly, slightly inappropriate nicknames also?
No.
Unless you have some at the top of your head, you know, and then we want to hear them.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I thought you guys were going to make
up
nicknames
for us. You have a Halloween song.
Oh, no, unfortunately.
No, that's out of our pay grade.
I just go through my Twitter mentions and find the latest AKA, as you could probably hear from the quality of my AKA.
We're taking free labor
and criticizing it. Well, guys, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about Michelle Obama's Balenciaga thigh-high boots.
Yay.
We're going to talk about Michael Rapaport just weighing in where his weight is not needed.
Having bad takes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Dow falling 550 points. Mm-hmm. Trump using the holiday and people not paying as much attention to the news to offload a bunch of things that seem to indicate he's colluding with Russia. Maybe. We'll see. We're going to talk about the Vanity Fair look at the culture at Georgetown Prep, where we got a brief glimpse of that back with Kavanaugh and his homies.
PJ.
Squee.
PJ, yeah.
I mean, I'm referencing that just from Matt Damon's version, but right. I don't know if it's accurate.
No, I think his name was Squee, though.
Yeah, Squee.
He's like, man, Squee squeed on us.
Right. Angrily defending the honor of somebody named Squee.
Ugh, Squee's house.
Just say random cartoon sound effects.
We're going to talk about some products that are going away in 2019. That are going to devastate you. But first, guys, what is something from your search histories that's revealing about who you are?
I recently had to search, is it safe to pick up feathers for this project that I'm writing for?
Is it safe to pick up others?
Like physically?
Feathers, like from birds.
Okay.
Is it?
We were concerned that maybe we didn't want to encourage kids to pick up feathers, but it turns out that it is, according to the internet, safe to pick up feathers. Yeah.
But you shouldn't put them in
it
your
is,
mouth
however,
or your nose.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Hold on, guys. I need a couple minutes to take all the feathers out of my mouth and nose. Hold on. 1 second.
Jack's teething on feathers.
I had a whole pillow
morning
for breakfast. Right. Delicious.
Are you talking mostly about like feathers on the street, like pigeon feathers, or what are we talking here?
I wouldn't pick up a street feather.
Yeah, like if you're out hiking and you see and your kid sees a feather, is it safe for them to pick it up?
Right, okay. Yeah, out hiking.
Yeah.
And in Times Square.
Totally. I can relate with hiking culture, outside culture.
Yes.
Right.
Jamie is in no way a hacker who codes.
I'm the hiker who codes.
She's the hiker who smells fresh air.
I'm the
if you
hiker
see anything in Times Square, don't pick it up.
Yes. Okay.
That's
definitely don't put it in your nose.
Daniel, anything you've been searching lately?
Yeah, so Jorge and I do this podcast where we try to explain the universe, and I'm supposed to be the expert on the show, which means I'm supposed to be able to like answer whatever question he throws at me. But sometimes the topics are a bit far afield from my actual expertise. So, for example, last week we did an episode on string theory. So my top search that week was, what is string theory?
Nice. So you dove deep. You went deep.
Exactly. I got Google. I got Wikipedia.
Right.
You know, what else do you need to be an expert these days on some deep scientific topic?
Is it the theory about how, like, if you have cords in a drawer, they immediately get tangled into, like, 1,000 knots? Is that?
No, it's a theory that maybe the whole universe is made out of crochet.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like
always suspected.
The knitted theory of the universe, right?
What?
Which would technically
totally
include what's in your drawer, so.
Huh.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to read string theory back when I was like, maybe I'm a smart person in my 20s. And it seemed way too, I don't know. I couldn't get any of it. It was like one of those things that I couldn't, even if Stephen Hawking was like, okay, for a dumb person, here's how you would explain this. I don't think I would have gotten it. String theory seems very confusing.
Yeah.
String theory is confusing. It's also beautiful, though. But you should check out that episode of our podcast. Maybe it'll make sense to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Jorge, what is something you think is underrated?
I think that forgetting your phone is underrated.
Getting your phone.
So it's something I think we all stress out about, but when it actually happens, I think you'll find that your life is actually a little bit better if you forget your phone.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I love being off the grid and knowing that someone is mad at me, but not knowing who.
Right.
And not being able to do anything
so
about
it. So it's just like a vague weight on your chest, but not like a full on like.
Sometimes it's exciting because you're like, it could be anyone.
Yeah, no, I agree, though. It's nice to have the freedom to be bored and let your mind wander.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and you think that you'll get into an emergency where you need to make a phone call, but really it just forces you to like talk to other humans or go into a store and ask for the phone. So it's not that big a deal.
I'd probably injure myself and eat shit less if I did not have my phone with me at all times.
If you weren't always going around on a Lime scooter with your phone 2 inches from your nose, just tweeting.
Jack, I got catcalled on a Lime the other day.
I know. Horrible. I saw that on Twitter, actually.
It was the worst.
Now, you were on the Lime scooter or
I was walking.
You were walking. Somebody
was on a Lime scooter passing me at approximately the same speed as I was walking. Right,
so it's not like...
It was like some teenager on a Lime scooter because you don't need a license to ride it. And he was just like, you're beautiful. And then kept riding really slowly to his grandma's house.
Like,
wow. It was wild.
Just right there.
It was wild. I give him a pass.
You should actually walk somewhere under your own power, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have done a light jog and scolded him, but...
That would have been pretty funny. Daniel, what is something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated is canceling trips.
Canceling.
You know, you got a trip planned and you're just sort of dreading it, and then you can just say no and decide not to go. And there's this enormous weight. It's like, I have several open days. I can actually live my life and not have to go out and interact with all those humans.
Yeah.
I think canceling trips is vastly underrated. Sometimes I think about just making trip plans so that I can cancel them later.
Just to feel the rush of liberty.
That's freedom. Sadistic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, hitting yourself on the head with a hammer and then stopping.
Right.
The sweet release of letting someone else down.
Yes. And you have children, Daniel? Is that right?
I do. I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Okay. So they're okay at travel by this point.
Oh, yeah. Actually, they make travel more fun. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're actually people now. You know, they like... order their own food in the airplane. They set up their own movies. They can like talk to other humans. They can handle themselves. It's amazing. Nice. Children actually turn into people eventually.
Nice.
They can carry luggage. It's great.
Yeah, carry all your luggage for you. What is something, Jorge, that you think is overrated?
I think sleep is overrated.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I try to avoid it as much as possible.
One of those.
As safely is allowable.
Okay. So how much sleep do you average on a nightly basis, would you say?
Oh, no.
I don't average a lot, maybe like 4 or 5 hours, but I have to catch up on the weekends. But generally speaking, I'm just not comfortable sleeping. I don't know why.
Huh.
It's not, I feel like you sort of, like you go into a coma for a little bit, which is weird to me.
Yeah, it's very unproductive, I've found. You don't get a lot done when you're sleeping, but...
Jorge, you're the reason everyone feels bad about themselves.
Right. You and the president. No.
Yeah, Jorge, that is something you have in common with Trump.
Yeah.
Does he sleep only 4 to 5 hours?
He's always said he only needs like 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night.
He has that exhausting golf schedule, you know.
Right.
If you're fully manic and never doing anything, I guess.
Yeah. There's actually a genetic thing that it sounds like, Jorge, you might have, where you just don't need quite as much sleep as other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's certain people who only need like 3 to 4 hours of sleep. They're hyper productive sleepers. Like when they sleep, they get all the benefits that we get just much quicker.
Oh.
So, yeah, that makes me... very mad at you, jealous.
I didn't say I was productive with my waking hours.
It's more time to consume content.
Right. Yeah.
I wish I could consume more content every day.
Daniel, what's something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated are Christmas cookies. I mean, I love the season. I like holidays. But in the end, Christmas cookies are usually disappointing. They're just like sugar cookies with a mountain of frosting on top. Yuck.
All right.
All right, Mr. Grinch.
So, Daniel, we're going to let you continue on this show,
but
just know that's strike
ice,
one.
Pal.
That's strike one, my friend.
That's
ice.
More offensive than sleep.
We just got
trying to improve the health of the population. People don't eat as many Christmas cookies. Jorge is telling people to stay up late and cram Christmas cookies in their mouths.
Lower joy.
Yeah, that's you guys are really out here.
I like the Christmas cookie, the Pillsbury one, where it's like a roll of cookies and you just cha cha cha, and then put them. Oh, those are, and then they all have like little Santas on them.
Yeah, and do you put icing on them? Like
sometimes I go, why? My family uses a lot of dips, and not all of them make sense for the food we're having. So
hummus.
Maybe a salad dressing.
Do you eat a whole roll of Christmas cookies while on a Lime scooter?
A Lime scooter, yes. Yes. Please don't look up a picture of me. I'm more interested in what you think that would look like.
We actually just got a basket of Christmas cookies that it seems like they were, I don't know, curated from different cookies that this person has had, because they're not all from the same manufacturer. but they're all really, really good. And so had I not been gorging on amazing Christmas cookies for the past 24 hours, I might have agreed with you. But yeah, I have to disagree on this one.
Is that going to be like a new profession, Christmas cookie curator?
Yeah, I think, well, yeah, like basket like curator, gift basket
like
curator.
Like lifestyle designer.
Yeah, exactly. And finally,
how rich do you have to be to hire a Christmas cookie curator? You know, like,
yeah, apparently very rich. Jorge, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
Well, I was thinking about this, and you know, I'm a cartoonist. And whenever I tell people I'm a cartoonist, they go, oh, man, that's great. You probably sit around in your pajamas all day and do nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to set the record straight. Yeah, I just want to set the record straight. That's not true at all.
You don't even own pajamas.
I don't even own pajamas.
He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have pajamas.
He sits around naked all day drawing cartoons.
There you go.
That's just interesting. That's just too much work to put them on at night.
Maybe that's because you're tired from not sleeping at all.
Well, you are joined. Today's co-host is also a cartoonist, Ms. Jamie Loftus.
But I'm always wearing some form of pajamas.
Pajamas, yeah.
So it's hard to say.
But
exactly,
I bet you're not wearing
uniform
them right now, right?
No, I mean, I'm always wearing some loose cloth, so pajama adjacent.
Yeah. It's the look. It's Loftus chic. It's pajama chic.
I'm wearing a horrifying shirt today. I'm sorry.
No, Jamie's wearing a shirt today that is, can I describe your
Please,
shirt?
Please, go for it.
It's amazing. It is, so the cloth part, like the background of this shirt, is the Matrix thing, like the ones and zeros.
All zeros and ones.
The green ones and zeros with black. And then on the front, it just says, Hysteria. It's pretty rad.
Shout out F21. Really came through on this one.
And Daniel, what is a myth from you? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
An important myth I want to debunk is that if you are wearing a lab coat, you are necessarily an evil character.
Mm.
I watch a lot of science fiction, and every single one, there's some dude in a lab coat with plans to take over the world or develop some technology that's going to destroy the planet or some sort of thing. These characters are always evil or malevolent or selfish or sort of like Jurassic Park hubris, you know?
Yeah.
Shape of Water.
Wait, are you saying that the myth is that you need a lab coat to wear that to be evil, or that if you wear a lab coat, you are evil?
Putting on a lab coat does not necessarily transform you into a purely malevolent character. I mean,
not
I know you guys had Josh Clark on recently, and he likes to talk about how the LHC might destroy the world. But, you know, that's not what we're out for. We're not out to kill people and swallow the earth in a black hole.
Yeah.
Just to see what would happen.
Sounds like something someone trying to swallow the earth into a black hole would say.
Right. Throw us off your scent.
I just want to create a black hole so I can throw all the Christmas cookies in it.
Right.
The rest of the world.
Yeah.
I'm happy if it stays around.
Get rid of all of them. That would be a great, like, I feel like that would be a good piece of children's entertainment villain, like children's movie. He's like, I must destroy all the Christmas cookies.
Oh, I see. That's like the hyper-specific Grinch. Like, I like Christmas except for this one thing.
Except for this type of cookies, this brand only.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, let's get into what's happening today in the zeitgeist. We're looking at Google Trends in our first little batch here. And something that is trending are Michelle Obama's Balenciaga thigh-high boots. They are metallic.
They're incredible.
They're $4,000. And they're really pretty cool. Like, I don't know. It's not clear what they're made of. They're like a glowing sort of rainbow.
Gold.
Yeah.
They're golden boots. They're so beautiful. I mean, I think her whole outfit at this, was it like a promotional event for her book or something?
I think it was. Okay. She was being interviewed by Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, I mean.
Yes.
There's a lot of thoughts that go there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible look. This has been sort of the year of thigh-high boots in a lot of ways.
Mm.
Between this and the Ariana Grande lollipop pick alone, I mean, those are some iconic thigh-high boots.
Yeah.
So was last year like thigh-high boots were just no-go and this year they're all in? I'm having trouble keeping up with the footwear trends.
I feel like Miles can better answer these questions than I can. However, I don't think that it was like if you wear thigh-high boots, you're trash.
Right.
Go, but it...
it's more of a gradual thing,
but
right?
The A-list has been very into... You know, the A-list.
Yeah.
I see. It's not something your typical pajama-wearing podcast host would wear. Do you have thigh-high boots that would go well with your pajamas?
No, I'm wearing Sperry's.
Sperry's are
not
so
glittery.
Very comfy.
The boots
are... I kind of want to know how she puts them on.
Yeah, they raise as many questions as they answer, but in a good way.
It must be Secret Service. I bet it's like three Secret Service guys have to be there to put them on her.
It's just there's just a long zip.
Pandora's boot.
Insert and then zip.
Yeah, but what are they made of? Is it metal? Is it? It looks like it's like a special effect from the Aquaman film. is what it looks like.
Could be a cross promo. We don't know.
Yeah, could easily be.
Maybe it's made out of meteorite or something.
Yeah. Well, on the other end of the spectrum,
is it $4,000 for the pair?
Yeah, $4,000 for the pair.
For the pair, okay, not each.
Yes, not
just for one boot.
I don't think shoes are generally priced that way.
Oh, it was the closing night of her tour, so she's like, okay, got to bring out some really. And also, I think that Michelle I would guess she and Sarah Jessica Parker are the same age, ish.
I don't know. That's a good question. On the other end of the spectrum of trending for the wrong reasons, Michael Rapaport is in the news for going on, I think, Instagram and demanding that people listen to his opinion on how hot or not hot, in this case, a person who is young enough to be his daughter is.
I mean, coming from known hottie, Michael Rapaport.
Known expert on hotness.
Can't think about it without getting soaking wet. Like, what is this? I don't know. This guy's a fucking mess.
There must have been a time when the dude was good looking, right?
I mean, he played Remy in Higher Learning, Deep Cut.
Maybe for 5 minutes when he was 18 or something.
Yeah, I'm sure he's had those movies.
He's like, listen, I know I look like shit and I'm old, but hear me out, which is so much of the world.
Right. It's just very like white male. Can you imagine? I'm trying to think of like a famous 48-year-old woman being like, I'm sorry, Justin Bieber is not hot. Like they just like.
Yeah, I
wouldn't...
would kind of like that. Right.
That's something Oprah might say, right?
Right. Yeah. If Oprah just came through and was like.
If Oprah came for Justin Bieber for no reason, that would be kind of awesome.
I would totally listen to Oprah's opinion about that. Yeah.
But
I want to know, does Oprah think Justin Bieber is hot?
Right. But he seems to be confused. He's like, oh, when I talk shit about Trump and Kellyanne Conway, people get mad. But suddenly when I say that Ariana Grande isn't as hot as people think, people get mad. It's like, yeah, dude, because you're a middle-aged white guy who like nobody wants to think about like what you find attractive. You're literally old enough to be her dad. You're calling her not hot. And then he reacted to people's hate by like making this gross like gesture at the camera in a gross way that's like, yeah, it's going to prevent any woman who sees it from being sexually aroused until deep into 2019.
He also like didn't get like he did no research. He said she's 27. She's not. He like posted a picture of her from when she was a literal child as evidence that he didn't find her hot. And not to go full Ariana Stan, but she's been dealing with people's opinions on her enough.
Right.
She doesn't need Michael Rapaport, whoever the fuck that is.
Right. And just
get out of her face.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of her face. Stop.
Some people shouldn't be curating things is the lesson, I think.
Right. Yeah. We don't need Michael Rapaport's curated list of the hottest 25-year-olds, which is actually how old Ariana Grande is.
Yeah, what an idiot. Thank you.
We probably don't even care what he thinks about Christmas cookies.
Right. Yeah, he was like, she acts like she's 12, but she's really 27. And it's like, well, you're 48. And by the way, she's 25. And something we're keeping an eye on here at the Daily Zeitgeist News Lab. At the time of this recording, the Dow has fallen, I think, 400 points to a 14-month low. People are saying NASDAQ has entered a bear market and that we are on track to have The worst December in stock market history since 1931, which I think that was a good year for the economy, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I did really well in my portfolio.
Right. 31? Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's a good year for bears.
Yes, big year for bears.
Great year for bears.
Yeah, I invested in bears, and it went great.
I had most of my money in the Big Rock Candy Mountain, and it worked out really well for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what most of that means.
Could someone give me an idea of bear market?
Well, the bull market is like a generally optimistic market where everybody's like, there's a lot of sales people, whereas a bear market is like people are hibernating. People are going into less sales. They're generally pessimistic.
You can tell that like men created the finance industry because there's all these agro, like it's the bear market, not the bull market.
Right. Their way of describing like a quiet period of like being nervous about things is like, we're bears.
No, we're bears. I imagine it all in like rhino pill font.
Wait, what's rhino pill font?
You know what rhino pills are?
No.
Oh, okay. So rhino pills, and I can't tell you why I know this, but rhino pills are like they sell them for like truckers at rest stops, and it's to give you a rhino raging erection. If you check out the graphic design for rhino
pills.
Where
did you do your research here on these rhino pills? At the truck stop or online?
I may or may not be dating a former trucker who made me savvy to the rhino pill font, and it's my favorite graphic design. Much slept on, I think.
Oh, yeah. It is a very strong font. Yes.
Very bear market.
Yes. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And there's been a couple of stories of late being initiated by the president and his administration that have led me to wonder if this is part of his strategy. Like, for instance, over Thanksgiving weekend, which is traditionally the slowest news week where people are just not paying attention to the news, he dumped the environmental report that was like, we're all going to die.
That was like, it's water world in 40 years.
Yeah.
They just, but eat your turkey. Don't worry about it.
Right.
They're like, by the way, stop reproducing. We're headed for Waterworld.
Yes.
But make sure to buy a bunch of stuff on Black Friday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but they knew that the environmental report would get buried under all the stories about people rioting on Black Friday. So, which is what we really want to read about on that weekend. Anyways, I get the feeling that they're starting to do the same thing with people seem baffled in a decision that nobody can understand. The president has declared victory over ISIS and announced that he wants to remove all U.S. troops from Syria. And yeah, there's just all sorts of articles on Vox and Washington Post, like none of his advisors, everyone has been completely blindsided by this decision. And
by arbitrarily declaring victory over ISIS.
Right, which seems like it's totally his sort of speed. But also, yeah, it's definitely exactly what Putin would want him to do. Just like...
Yeah, so his number one advisor is totally right. Cool with it, right? Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
Like, great decision, dude.
Yeah.
His number one advisor knew before he did what he was going to do.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I need that kind of advisor.
Yeah, so... We've been just pelted in the face for two straight weeks with evidence that he has a weird, not totally above board relationship with Russia. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, we're getting out of Syria, the one place that we're completely at odds with Russia. And then they also...
I'm sure that's just a coincidence, right?
Right.
Definitely couldn't be anything there, no.
Is the Vox headline, no one knows what's happening with Trump's Syria decision?
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's the Vox headline.
Is that literally the headline?
Trump,
oh my
right?
God.
Yeah. I think Putin knows, though.
Putin's the only one who understands that. I think Trump's probably even confused.
Right. It's like, he wants me to leave Syria for some reason. Whatever. But yeah, this...
Well, first he says, we won the war. ISIS is defeated so we can withdraw. And then when people criticized it, he's like, no, other people are still there to fight ISIS.
Right.
So like, did we defeat them or not? You know?
Yeah. And this is heading into a holiday season that has like unprecedented ISIS chatter. And like, there's all sorts of reports saying that ISIS is planning on targeting New York on New Year's. And, you know, that's something that is in the news. Yeah. And he's just like, we got this.
We're good.
Right.
Don't worry. Buy stuff on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. People, I read somewhere somebody making the comment that this would be his mission accomplished George W. Bush moment if he hadn't tweeted it on the toilet instead of if he had landed on it.
Good Lord.
If there's a picture of that, that would be gold.
Yeah, there'd be a cool picture of Trump on a toilet on an aircraft carrier.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Somebody has probably already Photoshopped that. God bless the internet.
Everything is on the internet.
Yeah. And then there's a second story that's come out that has people similarly confused for some reason. That the Trump administration has decided to lift sanctions on Russian oligarchs' companies is the New York Times headline.
Right.
They've decided this guy, Oleg Deripaska, one of Russia's most influential oligarchs, who got sanctioned specifically because of Russia's interference with the election. Trump has decided to, you know, go easy on him for some reason.
I mean, that's not confusing. What's confusing right, is like, how is that allowed to happen?
But that's a question that I have sometimes with, like, why is the front page of the New York Times, like, it really looks like he's just doing stuff that is good for Russia. Why are we acting confused? Like, is it because we don't have, like, the smoking gun evidence or something?
I don't know. I'm kind of confused. That's been the tone of a lot of news stories recently. It's like, can you believe? It's like, no, yeah, everyone can believe everything. But,
right.
Like, why? Why right. Is it allowed to happen?
Yes.
It kind of sounds like maybe he knows he won't be at the job for very long, much longer. And so he's trying to do all these things that he might as well just do openly.
Right. He's making good on all his debts. He's paying his debts because he knows that he's getting out of there. That's the wildly optimistic read on this. My read on it is he has never given a single fuck about what anybody thinks. And we are not going to get him out of the White House without like some sort of military action. I really think he's not going to make it easy.
I also am fully on board with like the holiday while no one's looking, let's see how much I can get away with narrative of like, I'm sure that wasn't his idea, but he would, they'll be like, hey, Mr. President, have you seen the movie Hall Pass? Like, what about that? But for foreign policy.
Right. The Hall Pass foreign policy strategy. Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how he's allowed to do it. You know, Congress passes right. These laws saying we need sanctions on Russia. And then the administration just goes, nah, we yeah. thought about it, but nah.
Is that like, an executive you know, power?
It is.
No, he just doesn't do it.
Right.
I mean, he claims that, oh, it's part of our, you know, foreign policy. We need to have the option to do this or not do this or whatever. But it's baloney. Like Congress makes these decisions.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It does look like people are... I don't know. We've been talking for a couple weeks now that it seems like Washington, like inside Washington, people are starting to be a little bit more hesitant, a little more bearish and less bullish on being associated with the president. Like no GOP member of Congress has the will to pass anything Trump wants. His foundation was shut down. He's had a bad, I think SNL said that Trump had a bad year last week because it was just like a year's worth of bad, just terrible news. No one wants to be his chief of staff.
We've been at the Trump tipping point forever. Like everybody's always like, well, this is definitely what's going to bring him down. Yeah. We can't survive this. But then he just blows it over by doing something even dumber or more dramatic the next week, which makes it look like small potatoes.
Yeah.
So he's just like a gambler who just keeps doubling down.
Yeah.
And then SNL's
and
like,
he's still
what?
Super popular among the GOP.
Among the Fox News watching demographic.
There was a Wall Street Journal article about how his support among Republican women is 93%. That said, the percentage of the country that identifies as Republican women is at an all-time low. So
that's like yeah, it's like I feel like a lot of people are leaving the party. It's the watching the GOP's reaction to his actions. My guess, and I'm sure there's other reasons, is it seems like if it seems like his presidency remaining a thing is on shaky ground, then siding all the way with him would probably be a bad thing to do right now if you wanted
right.
power soon.
Yeah, that's the sense you get. I just don't think anybody has the courage to do anything about it.
I think it has nothing to do with like increasing morality. Like,
no,
I think it's just
no.
it's like all professional strategy.
Yeah, it's all calculating like risk management.
Yeah.
Basically.
Bear market for Trump right
yes,
now.
Yes, bear market on Trump in Washington. and we should probably mention that the government looks like it's going to be shut down. There was a deal that all indications were that Trump was going to go along with that did not give him funding for his wall. Mm-hmm. He was just going to bite that bullet. And then Rush Limbaugh started, you know, saying, I can't believe Trump is going along with this. What is he, a chicken? And started making balking noises. And
like in Arrested Development?
Right. Yeah. Like literally.
This
just
is
like,
honestly how our national policy decided now.
So yeah, essentially. Crazy. I mean, Trump literally texted him and was like, you think I'm backing down, but I'm not. See, I'm not. See,
that was a little trick I was playing.
Right. Exactly. I was, I have them just where I want them. And then
somebody should dare him to quit.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Call him a chicken for not quitting.
You shouldn't return to your life of debauchery.
Right. Yeah, now he's blown it up. And it seems like it's exclusively because somebody called him chicken. One quick article I wanted to check in with. Vanity Fair kind of did a deep dive into Georgetown prep and just what the culture's like there. Because, you know, if you were paying attention to the Kavanaugh hearings, you got a sense that at least back in 1983, it was not the coolest place to be, and right. they weren't the greatest people to be around. And so the
unless you were a rich white dude, in which case it was probably a lot of fun for them.
Right. Well, unless you were one of the three rich white dudes, like, who hung out with Kavanaugh.
Because, it's squeezed to be believed.
Right. Yeah. They talk about how Kavanaugh and his friends used to, like, throw people into garbage cans and stuff. Like, they were
very old school.
Right. Exactly. Kavanaugh didn't do it himself. He just laughed like an idiot.
He was like, "Squee, you do it.
Squee.
I might want to run for office someday."
Right. Exactly. And there's a lot of stuff about specifically, you know, the Kavanaugh allegations and the way the community sort of seemed to band together around him. Like, the women who started the campaign of Women for Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. they are specifically women who he, I think, dated at one point, or one of them he dated, and they ended up marrying his, like, Squee, or, like, people in that group of friends.
If Squee, Squee is married, I'll throw myself in the ocean.
Oh, no. Squee is definitely married.
It's like, Squee, is Squee single?
You think Squee wears pajamas every day?
Yeah. Squee sent me a Christmas card with him and his family in matching pajamas, actually.
And thigh-high boots, yes. Right?
But
eating cookies.
Yeah. But
no!
Those women are sort of the, I guess they're very influential in terms of, like, the parenting scene and, like, where your kids get into school and stuff. And so they started the movement, and that's why they were able to get so many signatures. But they got quotes from a lot of women who had signed the thing being like, yeah, no, I mean, we feel bad for Kavanaugh because he was probably blacked out and didn't remember it.
I'm going to go on a limb and say all these are rich white ladies.
Yes. But then they were very, like, put off when he started, like, raging about accusations that he had ever blacked out. They were like, no, you were always blacked out when we hung out with you, and you always talked about it. And the detail about Judge jumping on Kavanaugh while he was sexually assaulting Dr. Blasey Ford, they were like, that was the detail that made it clear that it definitely happened, because that was apparently just that judge guy's, like, thing. He was always just jumping on people. That was, like, his trademark.
God.
Sounds like a great group of people.
Yeah, here, yeah. Just awesome people.
I hate people. Rich people so much.
But the weird thing is how gross the culture is and remains. Like, the reporter goes to this alumni event where all the people from the Georgetown prep class of 83 are hanging out, and, like, one of the heads of the school talks about how proud he is of the way they all hung together during the Kavanaugh thing, how they all, like, look out for each other.
That's what I was, like, really excited that comes up in this article, because there's, like, around the Kavanaugh hearings, there was, even with people, and, like, I talked about it with my parents, of, like, they're like, well, yeah, we're sure that it happened, but it was the 80s and, like, the culture was different. And so the reporting that is, like, far more recent is super useful, because I worry about that becoming the narrative of, like, well, all these, like, men who assaulted women in, like, the 70s, 80s, and early 90s are getting canceled, and
right.
How unfair.
Right.
But there's info from, like, the early to mid 2000s in this article,
yeah,
too.
It's crazy. So the way that that community sort of got together and defended Kavanaugh during this was also the way that the Georgetown prep community responded when a student accused one of the priests of sexually molesting him. Mm. There was this huge backlash in the community against the victim in particularly.
No kidding.
Yeah, there was, like, this big alumni, like, backlash, and there was, like, an email chain that went around where they claimed that he was, like, the student Eric flat out admitted that he made the whole thing up. It was because of his rocky coming out experience, because the student who was molested was gay. But he wasn't out yet, so the guy just outed him in this email.
Victim blaming and outing someone.
Yeah,
sick.
And then he expressed shock at the lies he spread about Father Orr. And then the student ended up having to leave the school because people were spreading rumors that he was a sexual deviant, that his parents had molested him, and that he was dying of AIDS.
Jesus Christ. They're...
Yeah.
What is the name of this place?
What a wonderful, supportive learning environment.
Yes.
Right?
And it's also not just Georgetown.
What is the town called? Stepford?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, Georgetown Prep is, I'm sure, egregious in terms of college campuses that put up with this shit. But there's, like, colleges have put up with this shit until so recently.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Emerson College and, like, you know, very progressive art school, but in like 2013, when I was still going there, there was a huge thing there that was an issue of like the school administration is not listening to people who report sexual assault. There's no consequences. There was like the year I graduated, there were three different instances of women reporting stuff. And this like fucking art school being like, we don't believe you and nothing happens. And so it's like, it's still like, it's weird because there's like this big discussion of like, are college campuses too politically correct? But it's like they just started talking about it a couple years ago. Like it's even the schools that are like woke schools, that's like very new.
Yeah. And I think that is even in the mainstream media with its supposed liberal bias, the idea that people are being treated unfairly because the college campuses are too liberal is an overblown story when you look at all the things that could be being covered in terms of like actually hurting people. It's just,
I don't know. I think being anti-rape is just liberal enough.
Right. Yes. But anyways, the priest ended up being, you know, there were other incidents as there often are in situations like this. And he was eventually disgraced and, you know, the school had to send out an apology and, you know, but
doubt. But it sounds like they learned from that lesson though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because as you saw during the Kavanaugh hearings and they complimented everybody.
The key word there though is eventually disgraced, right? These priests just go on and on and on and molesting more and more victims and covered up by the church and moved around. It's an immense tragedy.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad shit kind of coming together there. Mm. All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And as we head towards the end of 2018, the USA Today, the number one news source in America.
My favorite.
Hardest hitting. Hardest
other
of hitting.
Other daily zeitgeist.
Yes. They are announcing that there are five products that are going away in 2019 that, you know, you probably love.
Say Christmas cookies. Say yes. Christmas cookies.
Unfortunately, there are no Christmas cookies.
Can't cancel a genre of food.
Catholic priest.
Nor an American classic. No, the Catholic Church is not canceling priests, unfortunately. Haagen-Dazs is canceling sweet cream coffee caramel as a flavor, vanilla tangerine shortbread, pomegranate dark chocolate bar, and then this one sounds like somebody is dying or like their brain is misfiring.
This is my favorite one.
Yeah, chocolate dark chocolate almond bar.
That sounds like a code. It's like a Da Vinci code.
Chocolate dark chocolate chocolate almond dark.
Like a hypnosis code.
Yeah.
I have no attachment to Haagen-Dazs because
yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm not wealthy.
Right. Yes.
Making a Haagen-Dazs? No.
What kind of ice cream you eat?
Good riddance. I eat the McDonald's cone.
Nice.
That's always.
That's not ice cream.
That's okay. You know
that's
what?
That's ice cream like processed food something.
You know what?
That is my favorite too. I love that ice cream.
It's good
it's
ice
delicious,
cream.
And it's also.
But it's not ice cream.
It's also not calorically dense.
It's true.
Yeah.
Have you guys dipped french fries on your ice cream?
I would eat an ice cream french fry Christmas cookie if someone invented one.
Also, speaking of fast food, there are the Cal Wall calendars from Chick-fil-A. Is anybody familiar with
this? Oh, I didn't know that was a product, but now I miss it.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So much.
Eat more chicken.
The Chevy Volt is going away.
Is it big, small?
I think that was a smallish hybrid or electronic vehicle.
That's not good.
Yeah. Henry Bendel. Anybody familiar with that?
He's a product or a man?
He is a product, a brand that was like, I think I had heard it before. So producer
nice
Anna
socks.
Hosnier was talking about how on Gossip Girl, they talked about Bendel as like one of the only places they would shop because they were so rich.
Oh, it's a store.
Yeah.
It's a store.
Or it's a, yeah.
Oh, so it's probably French.
That's
it's
what
probably
I my
Henri Bendel.
Yes.
Bring your hot.
Why, how did I pronounce it? That's how it sounded in my head when I said it.
That's what I want in my tombstone. I wanted to say Jorge Cham, he was a man and a product.
Yes. The brand.
I want to only be famous as something that's going away in 2019. You've never heard me before, and now I'm going away.
Going away in 2019. The Kinect feature on Apple Music. Do you guys use Apple Music?
What's that?
That's like basically Apple's Spotify.
No, but what's the Kinect feature?
The Kinect feature is basically the social media. Like, you know how on Spotify you can see, like you can follow an artist and they will like drop have like playlists and shit like that. Apple tried to do that and it didn't work for them.
I still wish that Spotify would stop showing other people what I'm listening to because it's embarrassing and you can't turn it off for more than 6 hours.
Is that true?
Yeah, I have to every morning when I wake up before I listen to Pippin, I have to turn off my public feed.
Wow.
Yeah.
They just automatically revert to turning it back on.
Why are you embarrassed?
Yeah, after 6 hours.
Is that the most embarrassing thing you listen to?
No, I was, I've been in a Pippin hole, but I don't have good taste in music per se. And I would like to keep I need an interior life.
Mm.
you want to pretend that you have good taste in music, but then actually listen to whatever you want?
I'd like to listen to old Broadway songs, but not have that be my personality.
You need like a Russian bot for your Spotify.
All right. So those are the products that are going away. So
R.I.P.
Dark chocolate almond chocolate bar. And then the internet is going crazy over this Rachel McAdams breast pump photograph. I think it was like just an extra taken on a on a lark by the photographer during a photo shoot because she had to pump between photographs because she had a baby 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's pretty dope picture. She looks like a boss and she has the breast pumps going. She's getting good she's milk, both good. Sides.
Well, she's Rachel McAdams. They can't show an empty bottle.
Right. So you're saying that's fake milk.
I'm Rachel McAdams, breastfeeding truther.
Yes, but somebody was pointing out that it's somewhat of a, like if you want to do a sort of deep political reading of the image, it's...
Hit it.
Well, so it's cool to empower women and make breast pumping look awesome, but it's also playing into the sort of lean in model where, you know, America doesn't give working women good maternity benefits and women are just expected to respond to that by working harder and under worse conditions. And it's like, yeah, you can pump milk while doing your job. You're like a boss. And it's just, you know, it kind of sucks that America, that's sort of the going way we've decided to deal with.
I would also argue, just from my time at Plabois magazine.
Plabois.
You know, Plabois.
Hugh Hefner's
Plabois. I used
Plabois.
To buy that magazine at Henri Bondel.
Yes, there you go.
That there's like been this rise of breastfeeding pictures, which is like incredible in one sense that it's like that there's at least the stigma is lessening for breastfeeding in public and like having spaces where you can do that. But also I think that especially on Instagram, that's the only way you can have your nip out if you're a woman is they like revise their policies this year so that you can have a female nipple in a picture, but only if it's in a maternal context, which is alt-right.
Right.
Like, all right, we got to adapt with the times. How can we get an agenda, an anti-abortion agenda into our feelings on the female nipple?
Yeah.
So I think that that has had to do with the rising trend as well. I don't know. I mean, in one way, I, you know, obviously completely support breastfeeding and all photo shoots therein. And the other way, it does feel like, okay, how do we desexualize a female nipple for the internet?
Yeah.
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 And I'm totally mystified by the stigma about breastfeeding. Like, what's the issue? There's nothing gross about it.
Right.
There's boobs. There's milk. Like, both of those things independently are awesome, right? I'm pro boob. I'm pro milk. I've never seen somebody breastfeeding and gone, oh, gross. And I just don't get what's gross about it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen other people react to breastfeeding that way.
Yeah.
When someone's trying to.
I have reacted that way when it was that video. It was like a news story about a mom who's breastfeeding her like 7-year-old child. And
that's a different
that
story.
That weirded me out. I was like, oh.
It's like the last emperor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very last emperor.
If you're breastfeeding your 7-year-old, maybe do it in private.
Yeah. But she couldn't have been more proud.
Sure.
But yeah, this is, you know, you have to deal with pump rooms, which are not always like, they don't like give you the greatest room in the office usually. It's just a converted janitor's closet. They're like, go pump your breasts in there.
I'm not going to say where in LA there's a pumping room that doubles as a podcast studio, but it does exist.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just due to lack of space. But they're like, you can breastfeed here, but sometimes people are airing their takes out here.
Oh, no.
It's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You can tell me off.
Tell you off mic.
Oh, it's here? Oh,
it's,
shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. It's our studio. Mm-hmm. Wow. No. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you and hear your voices?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and all the social medias. We're at Daniel and Jorge, and the name of the podcast is Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe.
Yeah. What is something that you've been particularly excited about explaining in recent weeks?
Yeah, some of our favorite episodes are like we talk about, is time travel possible? Like which movies get it right? Or we talk about things like, is there life on Mars? Or we talk about what's at the center of the galaxy? Or what's inside of a black hole? All these kinds of crazy and amazing things that happen in the universe that physicists know about.
What movie?
Yeah, we try to touch on, None of the movies get time travel right, if that was your question.
Yeah.
Because time travel is totally impossible.
Oh, okay. Well.
Sorry to spoil your enthusiasm right there. I'm just going to squish it.
No, wait, but there's a caveat, right?
There's a caveat. What's the caveat?
Well, you can't time travel forward. You just can't time travel backwards.
You can travel forward, just not backwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
My favorite time travel movie, though, is Primer. That's definitely the best one. It's the most head-twisting, hard to understand, but I think it's actually the most accurate and creative.
Sorry, you mispronounced Back to the Future 2, but no.
I'm going to pander to the millennials and say it's Harry Potter 3 for me.
Wow.
Wow.
Such a woke choice, dude. Lit. Is there a tweet you guys have been enjoying?
I have a tweet I really enjoyed yesterday that made me laugh out loud. It has to do with the data transmission of ejaculation. Is that off limits?
No.
So apparently somebody analyzed the amount of data contained in the DNA in sperm.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that every time you ejaculate, it's about 1.6 terabytes of data that comes out. And if that comes out in about a second, it means that penises are 120 times faster than your home broadband internet.
Wow.
Well, I feel sick.
200 times more than mine, which is super slow.
Yeah, the latency is terrible, but the data rate's pretty high.
All right. Jorge, is there a tweet you've been enjoying that won't make Jamie sick?
For mine, I picked a good friend of ours, Katie Mack. She wrote this cool tweet the other day that says, "You are stardust, the ashes of the Big Bang. At every imaginable level, you are a creation of the universe, vast, beautiful, and suffused with unbridled power."
That's a very nice thought for people heading into the new year.
Yes.
Jamie Loftus, where can people find you?
You can find me on twitter.com at Jamie Loftus Help, and Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. Also, Santa University dropping soon.
Soon. I think we're dropping it on Christmas Eve.
For everyone's family gatherings,
yes,
of course.
For everybody to sit around the hearth and play it out loud for all the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I am more going to point to an article, but there's tweets that link to the article.
Okay.
There's a great article in Time Out New York featuring a comedian that I love named Marcia Belsky that I highly recommend checking out. She has her whole comedic persona is built around building a feminist militia that lives in the woods. She came out with a Handmaid's Tale musical this year that went to the Kennedy Center, and it's a great interview with her. She is always on the right side of history. Highly recommend checking it out. And she's at Marcia Belsky, M-A-R-C-I-A Belsky.
Awesome. A couple tweets I've been enjoying from Pixelated Boat, one of my faves.
Great account.
"We all should have seen this coming," and then he retweeted a headline that he obviously photoshopped that said, "Report, Mark Zuckerberg breaks into Facebook users' homes and roots around in their garbage like a raccoon." And then he also tweeted yesterday morning, "Forcing my children to eat gingerbread men with detailed genitals to own the libs." And you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Wow, that was so nice.
Echo of Miles Gray.
Yeah, where we link off to the information that we talked about, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's it? Miles isn't here? Well, I guess we're going to have to ask Miles? Super producer Anna Hosnier. What song are we going
to
ride out on?
I am so happy to be here.
Oh my God, it's so great to hear you.
You just crashed through the ceiling. Yeah, I'm very like Kool-Aid man. So I want to recommend a song from this kind of underground rapper. Her name is Reverie. She's from Highland Park. Shout out to super producer Nick, gentrifying the neighborhood. So she's from Highland Park. I saw her actually a year ago around this time. She opened for Hieroglyphics and Living Legends, and she was really amazing. So I want to recommend this song called Black Hearts. So it's Reverie, Black Hearts. Enjoy.
All right, we will. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back on Monday with a whole week full of special episodes to end the year.
Wow.
And then after that, with more podcasts. Talk to you guys then.
Bye.
Got problems, Mr. President, why don't you solve them? Why you choose to cause division with precision? Look, the system that's in place ain't fucking working. I've been to Ferguson, seen people live like they ain't worth the shit. My people smoking, tweaking, coding, Percocet, and it's upsetting. So broken, hungry, antsy, busted, 211, class in session. It's confession, gon' make people hate me cause I'm honest. My culture is addicted to the chaos. No days off, got juvenile delinquents. The way ends in juvie. If only you knew the injustices and corruption. One day it's gonna be in movies.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.